We've been walking through what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught for three chapters in this book of Matthew. And there's three chapters. We finished up the first chapter, which is chapter 5. And we have jumped to chapter 7. We're going to circle back around later on and do chapter 6. But we're going to walk through chapter 7 in the next couple weeks. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. It's on the back of your program. It'll be on the wall here too. You know, what's incredible about the words that we're about to read is that the little baby that's in the manger on your mantle, or the nativity scene that you drive by in your neighborhood, that little baby that was born on Christmas that we remember and celebrate, he grew up and he learned to speak again. And he kept growing up, and the Bible says that he had the favor of not only God, but the favor of man. And he called disciples to himself, and on a hillside many, many, many years ago, he spoke these words. These exact words. The baby that we remember and celebrate spoke these words. The one who was born on Christmas, who died on Good Friday, who rose on Easter, and who's coming back maybe tomorrow. He spoke these words. It's an incredible privilege. Matthew, the book of Matthew. Matthew was sitting on that hillside. He left his tax collector booth and he became a follower of Jesus, one of his disciples. And he was sitting on that hillside and he remembered what Jesus said. And whether it was a week later or a year later or after Jesus died, he wrote it down and he passed it on to others. And from generation to generation to generation, people recopied it until they had the printing press, and then they started printing it and they started translating it into different languages. And about 400 years ago, we have the first English translation. And we're sitting here reading the words that Matthew, the follower of Jesus, remembered that Jesus spoke and wrote down. We're hearing from Jesus. So we don't do this every Sunday, and we're not going to do it every Sunday. But what I want us to do this morning is, I know you just sat down, but I want you to stand up. And let's just give some soberness, just to help our hearts with soberness. And in honor of Jesus who's speaking, every word we're going to read right here, Jesus spoke out of his mouth and speaks to us today. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. Let me read and you follow along. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, Jesus says, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I want you to have a seat. So as we listen to Jesus speak, in fact, on the wall here, I underlined part of verse 11. Because at the core of what Jesus is saying is this. Did you see that? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more will our Heavenly Father give us good things when his children ask? At the heart of this passage, the fuel that this passage runs on, the foundation of everything that Jesus says, and he gives us a couple direct commands. He tells us what to do. And he gives us a promise, but all that is based on this foundation that our Father is good. Our Father is good. Do you hear that from what Jesus is saying? Our Father is good. And so Jesus tells us to do a couple things. And the first thing he tells us to do is in verse 7. The first thing Jesus says is that our Father is good, so ask. Our Father is good, so ask. Because he's good, go to him. Ask him for help. Lean on him. Do you see that in verse 7? Jesus uses three different words, but they're all in the form of a command. He's not suggesting. He's not encouraging you to do this. This is in the form of a command. He says, do this. Ask. Ask. And seek. Another word there. Look for, search for, seek. And knock. Knock on God's door. Ask Him. Why? Why? Because He's good. Because He's good and He's eager to be generous. So why would Jesus tell us to do this? You'd think that maybe His followers on that hillside would already be doing that. You'd think they would know this. You'd think you could just assume this. Why does Jesus command us this? It's because we don't always do it. We don't always ask Him. We don't always go to Him. And so why? Why don't we do that? Why would Jesus need to remind us that and so adamantly say it three times in one verse? Ask, seek, knock. Why do we not sometimes? Well, one reason could be and may be that in a season, in a situation, maybe in our whole life, in our core, we doubt that God is good. See, Jesus is saying is our Father is good. And our motivation for going to Him needs to be understanding and believing that He is good. But sometimes we doubt that. Sometimes we doubt that. And so we don't ask Him. We don't go to Him for help. So Jesus breaks it down and He brings it kind of down to our everyday level. Did you see verse 9 and 10? You know, you imagine some fathers in the crowd there on the hillside. We don't know how many people. The Bible says at the end of chapter 7 there was a huge crowd. So there could be hundreds of fathers there. And so He kind of points out and He says, hey, you fathers, we're talking about how our Heavenly Father is good. You earthly fathers, let me illustrate. Jesus says, how many of you fathers in this room who have children? If your child comes to you, whether he's grown or whether he's small, how many of you fathers, if your child comes to you and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some food? Dad, can I have some bread? How many of you fathers in this room would say, okay, son, here's a rock. Here's a stone. Yeah, it kind of seems silly. Why does it seem silly? Because that totally does not meet the need, does it? When you're hungry, a rock is irrelevant. It does nothing to meet that need of hunger. And Jesus says, how many of you fathers would do that? How many of you fathers, Jesus goes on and says, if your son comes and asks you, says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some fish sticks? Right? I don't know that many little kids eat salmon or trout, but fish sticks. Dad, I'm hungry. In this room, how many of you fathers, if your son comes, if your daughter comes and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some food? Can I have some fish sticks? How many of you would give him a live snake? A live snake. Maybe a rattlesnake. I don't know. A python. A cobra. Okay, son, I know you're hungry. Here's a live snake. Watch out. It might bite you. See, Jesus says, well, you wouldn't do that. Fathers, most fathers, I know not all fathers, but most fathers have a heart to try to meet the real needs of their kids and don't want to give them things that don't meet those needs and certainly don't want to give them things that will hurt them. You have a need? Okay, son. Well, here's something that will hurt you. Won't only not meet your needs, but it's going to hurt you. Jesus says you wouldn't do that, fathers, most fathers. And Jesus doesn't pull any punches here. I don't know if you were offended, fathers and mothers, when we read this. But Jesus says, if you who are evil, He doesn't pull any punches. Listen, you may be a good dad, you may be a bad dad, but the Bible says you're evil. There's a sin nature in you. You are not a perfect dad. You may have had a good dad, you may have had a bad dad, but whatever dad you had on this earth, he was not perfect. At his core, there was a sinful nature there. There was evil. But see, Jesus is saying, how much more? If that's the case for most fathers on earth, how much more will your Heavenly Father not give you good things? But see, sometimes we, you know why we don't ask sometimes? Because there's something in us maybe that thinks that if I, that God somehow is irrelevant to what I'm going through. and I need something, God, but I don't ask God because I think maybe in my core that if I ask him for bread, he's going to give me a stone. It will have nothing to do with what I need. I know what I need, and I'm not asking God because I don't think that he really is going to help me. Maybe I don't think he's going to give me anything, but maybe I think if he's going to give me something, it won't meet what I need. He's going to give me a stone. Maybe I don't ask God because I want this certain thing. I want fish. And I think that if I ask God that he's going to give me something, not only that won't meet my need, but that will hurt me. Something I don't want. And so I don't ask him. But see, Jesus is saying, listen, your Father is good. Your Father is good. Ask him because he's good. One reason we don't ask is because we doubt that. We struggle with that. Listen, let me just say this, and we may talk about this again this morning, but you know the way to increase your faith? You see, asking and prayer and going to God for our needs is not just a matter of discipline. You know what it is? It's a matter of our hearts being convinced of the goodness of God. And if you want to grow your faith so that you pray more and you have more reliance on God, don't focus on your faith. Focus on God. Don't focus on trusting harder. Focus on who God is and what he has done and what he has promised, and watch your faith grow. Because when we trust that he is good, you know what we do? We run to him and we ask. Sometimes we don't ask because we doubt. Sometimes we don't ask because we're asking other things to meet our needs. Sometimes we don't ask God because we're asking someone else or something else to supply what we think we need or what we really need. Now, the Bible, one of the ways the Bible describes this, and there's pictures over and over in the Bible, is it's an idol. Sometimes we go to idols. We see this with the Israelites. God rescued them from Egypt. If you've seen the Ten Commandments, you've seen Charlton Heston rescue all the other actors that left Egypt in that movie. And God rescues them, and I haven't seen the movie for a while, so I don't know if it's in the movie, but one of the first things they did, you know what one of the first things they did? Moses went up on the hill, and they pooled all their jewelry together, and they made a golden calf. And they started to dance, and they started to sing, and they started to say, this is the God that rescued us. This is the God that's given us good. This is the God that is good. We don't know more where Moses is, but this is the God who's rescued us. See, sometimes we attribute good things in our life to something else besides God. And we think, I did it. Or we think so-and-so did it. Or we think it's just an accident. And we dance around idols. And maybe they're not golden statues, but maybe their job or career or money or something else. See, we're asking, we're saying that something else has given us what we have, when God says that he is the source of every good thing. And then the Israelites, they went into the promised land. God, over the years, had mercy as he disciplined them, and he brought them into the promised land. And then, you know what they started to do? They started to have needs, and what they started to do is kind of adopt the gods of the surrounding countries, other statues. And when they needed help, when they needed bread, when they needed fish, when they had things that were going on that they needed help, instead of running to God, they ran to other things. And they asked the other things. And they bowed to other gods and statues and said, would you please help us? Instead of running to God. When they got in trouble with other countries, instead of going and getting on their knees many times and saying, God, would you rescue us from our enemies? They would run to Egypt and say, would you please help us? They would run to other countries that didn't believe in God, that didn't care about God. And rather than trusting in God and asking for God, they would ask other things. You know what? What are you asking? What am I asking in my life? What am I asking to help me? What am I asking to give me ultimate meaning? What am I asking to lead me? What am I asking to base my decisions on? Is it God? Or am I asking other things to be in the place of God? Am I saying with my life, God, this is better, so I'm going to go over there and lean on this. But Jesus says, your Father is good. He's better than any earthly father. He's better than anything. He's better than anyone. And He has strength and wisdom that can only be found in Him. So ask Him. Our Father is good. So ask Him. But then Jesus follows it up with a promise. And here's the second thing. Our Father is good. He gives. Our Father is good. He gives. Jesus promises that. Our Father is good. He gives. I want you to see this. It's so important that Jesus repeats this 7 times. Look at this in verse 7. Ask, He says, and it will be given to you. You see that? Not might. Not hopefully. Not maybe. It's a promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. We're up to 3 times now. Look at verse 8. For everyone who asks receives. Another promise. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. It seems kind of repetitive, but there's a reason for the repetitiveness. Jesus is driving home the promise that our Father is good and He will respond. He will give. He promises. Look at verse 11. For the 7th time, He says, how much more, at the end of verse 11, how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? It's kind of phrased in the form of a question, but it's really a promise. How much more will God not give you when you ask? Give you good things. You know what's amazing about this too? If you look hard at this passage, what do we have to do in order for God to keep His promise? Do we have to be good? Do we have to be good for Him to do good? Do we have to be really, really, really sincere in this passage? What does this passage say we have to do in order for God to give an answer? Ask. Ask. There's no hint of any kind of merit that we have to bring to the table. Well, God, I've been to church every Sunday this month. Well, God, I've given. God, I haven't been too mean to my neighbor. So, God, would you answer me? You know what we're doing when we do that? We're asking Him to answer us, not based on His goodness, but based on our goodness. And God says, no. His response is not based on our merit. His response is based on His goodness. He answers because He is good. You know, that's at the very heart of what we call the gospel. It's at the very heart of Christmas. That Jesus came not because we were good. Jesus, it says the Bible, He came to His own. You know, 2,000 years ago, He came to His own, but His own received Him not. They didn't receive Him. He knew they wouldn't. He knew they would reject Him. He knew that they would kill Him. He came not because they deserved it then or we deserve it now, but He came because He is good. And He takes the first step, not because we have taken a step before that, but because He has taken initiative. He is good. That is what the gospel is about. You don't deserve it. You are evil, Jesus says. But He is good, and He has come to live, to die, so that you can live. So that you can receive His love. It's not based on merit. Amazing promise. You know, how do we receive forgiveness? How do we receive forgiveness from the Lord? The Bible says that we believe. The Bible says that we call on the name of the Lord and we will be saved. You cannot read the Bible and walk away, or you should not read the Bible and walk away thinking that what you have to do is get your act together somehow and then God will respond. God says, what you need to do is respond to My goodness. Have faith and trust in Me and call on Me. He gives, not based on our merit, but we have to deal with this as we consider Jesus' promise. That when we ask, we receive. But do we always get exactly what we ask for? You see, if you look hard at this passage, it says, it does not say, ask and you will get exactly what you ask for. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say, seek and you will find exactly what you're looking for, the way you think you will find it. No, see, God's promise is that He will give and that you will find and you will receive. But it's not always exactly what we're expecting. On Monday night, it was about 11 o'clock. I was almost asleep and my cell phone rang and I didn't answer it because I was sleepy. And then the house phone rang and I thought, oh, something's going on. So I picked up the phone and it was Pastor Sean. And he had called myself, he called Pastor John. He had shared that Christine's brother was in a bad accident and he may not make it. And they asked if we would come to the hospital. We went to the hospital, Albany Med, and we're in the waiting room there with the family, with Christine, with Sean, with Christine's parents. And we were waiting and hearing updates from the doctors. At one point, David Kniff, who was part of Grace Fellowship, his pastor was there, and he gathered everybody that was in the room, and we prayed together. And you know what we asked God? We asked God that Dave would not die. We asked God that, contrary to what the doctors said, that if he did live, that he would not be a vegetable. We asked that God would do a miracle. We were there pretty late, came home, got a little rest, went back. And before I got to the hospital, we got a text from Pastor Sean that Dave had passed away, that he did not make it. So we read verse 7, and it says, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. What do we do with verse 7 on days like Monday and Tuesday? What do we do with that? And here's the reality. I don't know all of the answers. And it has been a terrible thing that has happened. And yet when we ask the Lord, who we are asking is our Heavenly Father. And the Father filters it through His heart of goodness and care, through His heart of sovereignty and knowing all that is going on. And we don't understand all that He does. But what we do is when we ask and we don't receive exactly what we ask for, we lean into the Father and we say, our Father is good. And He will give. And I don't know how He will give. He hasn't given in that way that we asked. But God, we are not going to stop asking. And we are going to come to You for grace, for help, for strength. At the funeral on Friday, someone shared, I can't remember who it was, that Amy, Dave's wife, the trooper who died, his wife at the hospital, and Dave was a believer, and his wife is a strong believer, and that she said to, I think, the pastor before they left the hospital, she said to him, God is still good. God is still good. You see, we have to be very careful not to read life backwards and decide on God's character based on the circumstances. What we have to do is read life forwards from the Word and see our situations, no matter how painful, and say, God is still good. And so I have to look at what has happened. I have to look at the days ahead and lean into the fact that God is good. You know, we can't pretend at Christmas. Sometimes we do, but we can't pretend that everybody has had a Norman Rockwell Christmas ever, really. Sometimes, maybe you have. Maybe you had those memories, those Norman Rockwell paintings of Christmas time, and you have these beautiful memories of Christmas. But sometimes we front load so much expectation on Christmas that it's got to be this kind of perfect family, peaceful, perfect time. And maybe you've had that, and now you're not. And there's tension within your families. And there's tough things. Maybe you've lost your job. There's just hard times. And you wrestle with that. And we say, but God, I've been asking You for this or for this or for this. And it's just not happening. And instead, it just seems like things are more painful. I don't get it. You know what? God says, continue to ask. He doesn't put us off like a procrastinating father. But see, God's answers come in ways that we don't expect sometimes. And you know what? Maybe you, as I mentioned, maybe you've never had a Norman Rockwell Christmas. And for Christmas, yeah, you know, it's depressing to you because you see that the expectation from, you know, the Charlie Brown thing on TV and other pictures and shopping and the ads, and you just kind of see, you know, this is what Christmas should be, I guess, but you know what? I've never had that. And it's just been chaos and dysfunction as long as I can remember. And there's pain at Christmas time. Listen, God is good. God is good, even in the middle of struggle. In fact, the Bible says that He's close to the brokenhearted. See, pain and struggle, they don't short circuit God's plan. God is working. The death of Dave on Tuesday does not short circuit God's plan. God is working and God is good. And we lean into His goodness. Let me read you a poem I found years ago. This was written by a Civil War. We don't know his name, but it's attributed to a Civil War veteran who was a Confederate soldier. We're going to bring it up on the screen here because I want you to see it as well as hear it. Let me read it and you watch it on the screen. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. But I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of man. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Did you hear that? Heart of that? I didn't get anything I asked for. And yet I got everything I needed. Our Father is good. Our Father is good. And sometimes we ask for something very specific. And we should. Jesus says, God says, if you don't ask, you don't have because you don't ask sometimes. Ask specifically. But who we're asking is our Father, who is all wise, who has a master plan. And He is good. And He answers. But it's not always what we think it should be. And we can trust His heart. There's a second command in here, though. And it's in verse 12. Here's the third thing, the second command, that our Father is good, so give. He gives, and He is good, so we need to give. At verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Is that recognizable? The golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. But you know what? We almost always, if not always, hear that verse isolated. But the most important word in that verse right there is the first one. It's only got two letters. It's the word so. Now, in my Bible, that verse is kind of under the next heading. It's in the next section. And you think it's a whole new thing. You think it's a whole separate thought. But you know what? It's not. That word so is so important. Because what it means, the idea is therefore. It means the word so is based on what I just talked about, Jesus says. Based on that, based on the truth that our Father is good, based on the fact that I'm telling you to give, based on the fact that the promise that God will give, because of that, whatever you wish others to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You see, sometimes we hear that golden rule and it's used totally separated from God, totally separated from who God is. And so we say, hey, do to others what you want them to do to you. It's more of kind of maybe just a moral or a ethic. And we just use it like that. But see, that's not the way it was intended. The word so, what God is saying is, because I am good, I'm telling you, come to me, ask from me, and I will give, and I will sustain you, and I will help you. And then you can churn out of fullness, not emptiness, but because you've been loved by God, you can churn and love man. But see, what we do sometimes is we can kind of rearrange this verse, and we can, in our hearts, and sometimes it can sneak up on us, we can say, well, I'm going to love you the way you love me. So whatever you do to me, I'm going to do to you. Now, that's not what the verse says, but sometimes we treat love as kind of a payment plan or a exchange, or I'm trading with you. So I'm going to match how you treat me. I'm going to match that. I'm going to treat you the way you treat me. That's not the way the verse is written, is it? That's not what Jesus said. He said, do to others what you want them to do to you. But even there, we have to be careful, because sometimes I can do to others, and it's not necessarily a trade, but it's more of credit. I'm loving you, I'm doing to you, and now I'm expecting from you. Now, I did that for you. Then if you don't do it for me, guess what? I'm mad, or I'm bitter, or I back away. You see, God solves all of that. And he says, you know what? Don't go into your relationships wanting to get things. Don't ask your relationships to meet those needs of bread, of fish, of significance, of ultimate meaning. God says, come to me. Come to the cross. Come to Christ for forgiveness, for help, for strength. Lean on him. And then you can churn based on that. You can churn and you can love others out of overflow, not out of trying to get something. You know, Christmas time is a great time for us to talk about this, because the whole Christmas gift exchange thing can get, and it's a good thing. But if you're like me, if you're like us, there's some weird things that can start happening in our hearts. That we can write who we're going to give Christmas, you know, our Christmas list of who we're going to give stuff to. That if we're not careful, we can start writing that list depending on who gives us stuff. Because, you know, you can't not give somebody a gift that gives you a gift. Right? So you got to make sure I missed somebody. And, then somebody gives you a gift maybe today, but you've got two more days to buy them a gift to give it back to them. You know what? Sometimes Christmas gift giving is more like just a reallocation of funds. Because, you know, if somebody buys you a $30 gift, you can't give them a $5 gift. I mean, you got to give them a $30 gift, or maybe a $40 or $50 gift, because, you know, and so we get in, and you know what happens is it kind of, now it's not a gift. And we sign up for the secret pal thing at work, or maybe at school, and we draw a name, and we put our name in, and somebody draws it, and so I'm getting stuff for somebody else, and then guess what? Day three, the 3 days have gone by, I got nothing. And I'm upset, right? And see what, and that's just a picture sometimes. By the way, we don't have Secret Pal at Open Arms. So, I mean, staff-wise, so. But that's just a picture of sometimes how we interact in relationships if we're not careful. See, and what Jesus is saying is ask the Father. Go to the Father. Lean on him with all your heart, in all your ways, all the time. And he will give, and he will supply, and he will sustain you. And then you will be able to, and I will be able to move out into relationships with a heart to give without expecting. A heart to give rather than resenting. Because I'm not asking others to meet those needs, because I'm trusting that my Father who is good has met those needs. You know, these three things that Jesus says, ask because he gives so that then you can give. You know what that is? That is the heart of Jesus's message. That is the heart of, again, what we call the gospel. That is the heart of what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian is to realize that we are not good, but he is good. And we cannot earn any kind of good from him. But what he says to do is ask. Because what he has done is he has given. He loved the world so much that he gave his son. So that whoever believes and asks for forgiveness, not earns or any kind of merit, but asks, that he gives that forgiveness. And he changes us. It says he gives his Holy Spirit. He gives us forgiveness. And if you wonder, when you ask for forgiveness, whether you have ever done that or whether you always do that, but there's something gnawing on you, you're just not sure if God will forgive you. Listen, he promises. He promises that he will forgive if you call on his name, if you believe on Jesus. He will forgive, and he gives us that. And then he says, now then we move out to do the good works that he's prepared for us to do. But we are new creations in Christ, and we don't do good so that he'll give. We do good because he's given. We don't live to try to earn anything, but we live for the one who lived to die so that we could live. And we ask knowing that he will give, and then we move out to give because our Father is good. Two things. Maybe you have never asked for forgiveness. Maybe you don't think you need it. Maybe you don't think you need it, or you've never asked for it. Jesus says to you, he says to us right here, he's saying this morning, ask. Seek. Knock on that door, and he will forgive you. It doesn't make any sense why a God who made us would do that for us. But that's what he says, and he says, ask, and I will forgive. You will receive. And maybe you have. And maybe you, like me, many times struggle with grasping the goodness of God, that deep in your heart, you may wrestle with that. The Bible says that, and we share this many times, but it's worth repeating because I forget it a lot. Romans 8:32, that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him freely give us all things? If our Father who is good would send Jesus to die for us, how will he not also help you with whatever you face? How will our Heavenly Father our Father will not give you a stone when what you need is bread. Our Father will not give you a serpent to bite you if what you need is fish. He is good. And we have to remember that, reflect on that, sing about that, remind each other of that, and most importantly, remind our hearts about that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for coming to the earth. The Bible says that Jesus was the exact representation of God. That when we see Jesus reach out and put his hand on the arm of a leper who no one could get within feet, yards of. But he cared and he reached out and he touched. When we see Jesus healing the man who was crippled from birth, who gave sight to the man who was blind from birth. When we see Jesus correcting his disciples and telling them to let the children come when he was really busy. But he cared. Lord, that's the heart of the Father. And Father, you are good. When we see Jesus spread out his hands and allow himself to be nailed to a cross when what he could have done was wipe everybody out who was doing that to him, called 10,000 angels down to rescue, but he didn't. Lord, we know that that's a picture of the heart of God, that you are good. Jesus, we so much need to be reminded of that. We so much need to remember that. So that our faith will grow. A faith that will then move out to give to others, love that will give to you the glory and the thanks that, Lord, you're so worthy of. God, we just praise you. We thank you for being good to us. We thank you in the good times. We thank you in the bad times. We thank you that you never let go of the wheel. Even though it looks like things are chaos, you are good and you do good. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they faced Nebuchadnezzar and he was going to throw them in the fiery furnace if they would not bow. And they said, you know what? Our Father, our God can save us from that fire. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. Lord, we know that you can do all things. You can heal any disease. You can stay back any death. You can change any life. Lord, but you can prevent any accident. Lord, but even if you don't, Lord, may our hearts say that we will that we will still believe that you are good, and we will still cling to that. Instead of running from you, we will run to you, because you are good. We pray this in your name. Amen.